such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, listeners. This is Loretta Freilich. Mary is not with us today. She is about God's business. And so it's Nick and I today in the radio studio. And we want to just send a little shout out to Nick. It was his birthday on Saturday. So we just say happy birthday to Nick and every good blessing and grace from the Father for you. It was also Father's Day this weekend, so we want to send a happy belated father to all the fathers, the grandfathers, the godfathers, and first-time fathers and long-time fathers. I know I sent a special little shout-out to my nephew, Joseph. He was a first-time father celebrator, Father's Day celebrator this weekend, and so I just wish him every good gift. And this Sunday, we celebrated the Corpus Christi Sunday, the most holy body and blood of Christ. And, you know, following up on that feast day of the church, it just seems just natural that we would be talking today with Kathy Donahue, and she is the former CEO of Catholic Charities and a longtime Catholic Charities servant. And to see the face of God in everyone is Catholic Charities' motto, and I am blessed to call Kathy friend, and she was gracious enough to come on the radio today so we could talk. Hi there, Kath.
Hi, Loretta. How are you?
I am just fabulous. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
And did Ron have a happy Father's Day?
He did.
Well,
we watched a Little League baseball game, and he told me there's nothing better.
Well,
he could have done nothing better.
Well, Ron is a true father, and in all the ways that he cares for all of your kids and his grandkids, and so I'm thrilled that he had such a great day. And, you know, you, Kathy, have been a part of Catholic Charities for so many years. Can you tell us how you got your start at Catholic Charities?
Well, I'm going to tell you that when I was a little girl, I had a brother that got spinal meningitis, and he lost his hearing, part of his hearing, and he regressed. He was only four. And so when he got out of the hospital, he needed special help.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother took me and him down to Catholic Charities because they had special services, developmental services for children.
Wow.
And they helped my brother gain what he had lost while he was sick. And I tell you, throughout his life, you would never know anything traumatic ever happened to him. And so my mother always credited the services that they gave, and imagine that was in the early 50s.
Right.
That something so progressive was going on within the walls of the church. And so that was first experience. Second experience is every Thanksgiving, our family would go down to Catholic Charities to serve a supper. And I never knew why. I just thought that was what you did. You took care of people who didn't have what you had. And so that's what we did on Thanksgiving. And then we would go home, of course, and have our dinner. Well, I later learned that my father was an alcoholic and that he found sobriety through Catholic Charities. And that's how he gave back.
And that was when Monsignor McDermott was working as the head of Catholic Charities, right?
Right. And so he was devoted to Monsignor McDermott. Whatever he wanted, right, my dad would do for him. So later, I graduated from college, and I came home, and my mother, of course, didn't give me a minute to sleep on the couch. She put me in the car, took me downtown, said, Father Conway, who later became Bishop Conway, needs your help. They're doing the first directory of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and they need somebody to type it, so let's go down there. And the rest is history.
Oh,
I mean, I got in the door, and I fell in love with the people, and I was listening to the work that they were doing, because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I had a degree in sociology. What do you do with that?
You go to work for Catholic Charities.
Well, I was like, I love listening to these people. They're helping. People call on the phone, and they find what they need. And I was, like, gushing with appreciation for their work. So when the directory was finished, I said, Father Conway, do you have anything else I could do here? I'm enjoying myself. And that was a labor of love for 40 years.
Praise
God. I mean,
God.
My next job was switchboard operator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's when they had the, the ringy dingy.
The Lily Tomlin version.
The Lily Tomlin switchboard. I did that. And again, I learned all the services, all the different services that Catholic Charities was doing. And, it was like a discovery every day of fantastic generosity and charity. And I was proud of my church.
Amen. Amen.
So I stayed. I stayed because every day got better.
Now, what got better that made you want to stay?
Well, of course, I did the switchboard. Then,
sure.
Then they needed vacation relief, so I went around and I sat in every department. And the secretary knows everything.
Yes.
And so I would be the temporary secretary. So I was in foster care, and I was listening to how they take care of children who are in trouble. And I thought, oh, isn't that great? And then I went down to adoption and maternity, and I saw, first of all, them intervening with people who are pregnant and just saving the day for someone who was distraught and turning it into something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would watch babies be adopted, and that was like such a celebration.
Yes.
You know, flowers would come and families would come and everyone would be crying, and, you know, it was very emotional, and you'd see a new family be created right before your very eyes.
Right.
Well, who gets to see, who gets to witness such goodness?
Right.
I would say this every day. I wish there was a camera here watching what I get to see, because I am filled with joy.
Wow.
And that's what happened. I kept getting bounced around, learning different angles. Like, then I sat in the Department on Aging, and there they were. Like, a woman would call, and she was, homebound and had no food, and someone would run out there, bring her food, make friends with her, tell her we were here if you need us. And then they'd create a case file, and I would type it up.
Okay.
And I would give it to them, and they would put it in their drawer. And then, like, every week or 2 weeks, they would call and check on her. It was really, how nice.
You're absolutely right. And
right. And people get paid to do this. That's what I was saying to myself. I would pay you to sit here and listen.
Oh, God, you're so good.
If I had any money, which I didn't. So.
Well, you sure found your niche. Now, what were some of the jobs that, in addition to, the filling in, what was like your first solid, this is going to be Kathy Donahue's spot?
So what happened was they had a service called Parish Social Ministry, and there were nuns that worked for Catholic Charities, and they would go around to parishes and help people open up their food pantry and create a social service ministry within the parish. And then they would turn it over to the parish, you know, like they were consultants, so to speak, and they would set it up. And then some parishes were able to take it on themselves and run it, and then other parishes really couldn't run it, and so the nun would stay with the parish for a while. So when I was working on the switchboard, one of the nuns was moving to another city. Her community moved her, and so they had nobody to run the social ministry, and it was at St. James in Maywood.
Oh, sure.
So I went there and ran the ministry. I mean, they had such confidence in me. I did not know what I was doing, but there were plenty of people that were behind me that I could call, you know, if something got confusing. But really, it didn't. I mean, it kind of came naturally to be sitting in a parish rectory and answering phone calls and finding, you know, they had volunteers already developed. They had people who in need that would call, and I would match a volunteer to the need, and then everything would sing. And so I did that for a while, and I knew that was going to end because the parish was going to hire somebody from the parish to do the job.
Okay.
So eventually they hired somebody, and then I would be out of a job again. So I called Bishop Conway, then Father Conway. I'm like, this is going to come to an end. Do you have anything else? So he always found me something. So the next job was doing case management. So, you know, those elderly people that would call?
Yes.
I would be the person that would run out to the house and find out what they needed and find a way to help them. So they had a job opening, and Ellen Gorney interviewed me.
Oh, my gosh.
For the
what
job. Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
That
so
is
Ellen
hilarious.
Gorney, yeah, Ellen Gorney was like the ultimate perfection when it came to social work. So I remember her interviewing me, and she said, "Well, why should I hire you?" And I said, "Well, I'm very calm in a crisis." And she started laughing. She said, "You know, no one's ever said that." She goes, usually people say I'm really nice, I'm good to people, but...
You are calm in a crisis, Kath, I will tell you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so anyway, she I don't know, she found that funny, but I thought that was one of my best qualities, you know?
It is one of your best qualities, of which there are many.
Me, yeah, it has served me well throughout my life, that to be good in a crisis, because believe me, they happen.
Yes, they do. Some of us call it life, Kath, but...
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I'm sorry, I'm driving to move my car because there's a truck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm pulling over.
Okay. Well, how about if you tell our listeners, just as a disclaimer, Catholic Charities, I am a member of the Board of Advisors. I am on the West Suburban Regional Board, and so... I believe with all my heart in Catholic Charities and the work and the service and the spiritual uplift that Catholic Charities provides. I believe with all my heart in it. And so maybe you could tell our listeners, just kind of give them a little overview about Catholic Charities.
Well, Catholic Charities has done some wonderful things. Like I just kind of mentioned some of them. Like
right.
Adoption and
sure.
then taking calls from people in the community who need help.
How did it get started, Kath?
Well, back in the day, you know, churches were the ones who helped people. And the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which today is still on the front line helping
yes.
people.
Yes.
And so, but what happened was, you know, as times get harder, parishes get overwhelmed.
Yes.
So back in 1917... there was a huge flu epidemic similar to COVID, and people were dying, and kids were left uncared for. It really affected adults more than children, and so there was a wave of parents that died. And, you know, parishes, they couldn't take on children.
Right.
And so you really have to have a more developed type of institution. And so at the time, I want to say Mundelein was the cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
Because all kinds of institutions were getting refined and developed. And so businessmen in Chicago who had the money and were willing to help needed somebody to organize. And so like people like Marshall Field and Comiskey gave money, and the Catholic Church knew what to do with it. And so they developed an agency that would be connected to parishes but outside of the parish. And so if the parish got overwhelmed, they could make a referral. And so that's what happened. And I would say in the beginning, they really concentrated on children. And so there was, you know, like a hospital that was, you know, the Daughters of Charity ran, that was on LaSalle Street, which is the flagship. And I think Maryville developed during that time, and it was, you know, a home for children who had been orphaned, and, you know, House of Good Shepherd developed. And so that's where they started taking care of children. And then, you know, as things developed, you know, they started taking care of the elderly. And, of course, they started taking care of women who were pregnant. And from that, more things developed, like adoption. That's sort of that's kind of a professional, you know, like back in the day, I don't know that there was that much legal work done around adoption. But now, you know, there are things you have to be careful of with adoption. And so every administrator of Catholic Charities actually went to school to study social work.
Wow.
Which is not the case everywhere. And I learned that from the years of conferences that I went to when I talked to executive directors, that Catholic Charities in Chicago was really unusual.
Yes.
And they all got masters in social work.
Wow.
So that they didn't develop something that could be harmful, because you can do harm if you're not respectful of people. And not on purpose. Sometimes people think, "Oh, you know, I'm smarter than you are, or I have money and you don't."
Right.
Or, you know, like, "I'm better than you are." Well, first of all, the Catholic Church doesn't teach that.
No.
You know, we're taught humility, so that we had a leg up on that. But then when you go to school and study that, you develop services appropriately, which I always felt the respect and the honor we gave to people who had the courage to come for help.
Yes.
That was you had to recognize the strength in their survival and find a way to compliment them and feel comfortable and welcome. That was always like the values that well, for 40 years, it was there before I got there, and it's still there. But I'm just saying, that's what you were taught, that this person is down on their luck, but that doesn't mean that they aren't God created, you know.
Right.
And all you got to do is tap into their spirit.
Yes.
And they will flourish, and you could give them an opportunity.
Right.
So anyway.
There, by the grace of God, go you and I.
That's exactly right.
And you know, Catholic Charities, I was always amazed at how many programs they have and the locations they are in throughout Lake and Cook County. And they're really, it's just this broad spectrum of services that just, if there's a need, somebody finds, you know, a program to address that need and see the face of God in the client that comes to them at Catholic Charities. I'm telling you, even, you know, my experience in the people that work at Catholic Charities are simply amazing, from the front desk guy to the, you know, the CEO. And it's really such a privilege. We're going to go to our first break now. And when we come back, we're going to hear more about Catholic Charities and this amazing woman who rose to the top. I am Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic Radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Mary Fiorito, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verrill of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
Welcome back, listeners. We are blessed today to be talking to Kathy Donahue Coya. Did I say that right, Kath?
Yes, you did.
Oh, very good. And we're talking about Catholic Charities. And in particular, we're talking about the service that Catholic Charities provides. And we are blessed to have Kathy, who started as a volunteer, who was blessed by the services that Catholic Charities gave for her brother, that she ended up continuing to see the mission in every contact she had with them. And, you know, what comes to mind, Kath, is what the evil one meant for harm in the injury to your brother's hearing, the Lord meant for good, because he took you and your witness to the blessing of Catholic Charities, and you rose all the way to the CEO. I mean, it's like a Cinderella story.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It is. Now, what program did you develop or is closest to your heart, maybe?
My gosh, I love them all. But, you know, there's some that stand out, like refugee services.
Okay. Tell us about refugee services.
So we are taught to welcome the stranger, right?
Yes.
And so think of people who come from war-torn countries and are sitting in refugee camps, that Catholic Charities across the nation and the Catholic Church, really, around the world, welcomes people who are in trouble. And when I first came to Catholic Charities, actually, it happened a little before me, but there was the Peter Pan initiative, where they airlifted
yes.
children out of Cuba.
Yes.
And they were placed in homes in Chicago, and many of those people are now board members of Catholic Charities, because it saved their families' lives.
Yes.
You know, that the children went before them, they were adopted by families, then their parents came later, and they started a new life. So most recently, the Catholic Church, not necessarily Catholic Charities, welcomed the Afghanistan people who were being airlifted out of their country. And so, you know, the Catholic Church is on the world stage saving lives. So I see that in a little microcosm at Catholic Charities. So we have a refugee program. We've resettled people from all countries in Africa, Middle East, you name it. And you watch them flourish and be grateful and have a new life. So that's pretty spectacular. Go ahead.
No, I found... I can't remember. It had to have been, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe, that we were talking, it meant not you, but our board, we were talking with the head of the refugee services, and what I was so impressed with was the United States government recognized that Catholic Charities provided the best service, and, you know, the wraparound services to Afghan women that needed to be resettled in the United States. They were Muslim. They didn't speak any English. Their dietary rules were different than us. They weren't going to go down on the corner and get a hot dog. It wasn't that easy to feed them. And I just love listening to the stories of Catholic Charities meeting these people where they are. Totally different faiths, and totally different cultural experiences. And here, Catholic Charities was working overtime, not only to serve them, but then to bring others into their service in a culturally responsive and responsible way. And that's what I think is part of the beauty of Catholic Charities.
Yep. Yes. And the head of the refugee program is Muslim.
I did not know that.
Yes, you wouldn't know it, and she wouldn't know it either, because she felt such at home and so welcome.
Right.
That it didn't matter, because we all have a God, you know.
Amen.
And so, anyway, that was one of them. Another spectacular thing, and I want to say, I mean, I know we did over $120 million of housing development while I worked there.
Wow.
And what would happen is that, you know, churches would close. So mm-hmm. as Catholic churches were closed, there was a lot of Catholic property that was available. And there was a huge need for senior citizens to have affordable housing. And so what would happen is that the Catholic Church would donate the property for this initiative to maintain the Catholic presence in communities of poverty. And instead of having a church, which was poorly attended, you would build this housing. And the donation of the property would turn into tax credits, and that would help to fund the development. And then you would get money from the government and from banks and from private people, and you put it all together, and you build 120-unit, you know, apartment building. And people who were, you know, choosing between medicine and food now had an apartment that they only had to pay 30% of their income for rent. And no matter what their income was, they could afford their housing and their medicine and their utilities and even buy a gift for their grandchild.
It
ended poverty for the 120 people that we could house in each one of those buildings. And I want to say we built 20 of them.
Glory to God. Glory
to God.
So
think of all those people, their lives, lived out their lives without worry.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
That is amazing.
And the buildings were gorgeous. Gorgeous, beautiful. And we were always recognized, you know, by HUD, by the people who gave us the money, as running the best, you know, group of subsidized housing apartment buildings anywhere in the nation. And so when they had special projects, they would come to Catholic Charities of Chicago, because we were the most highly funded entity, because we did such a great job. So, imagine that.
And what other programs do you think are kind of showcasing?
Well, one of the ones, you know, like the housing has been a terrible problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened during my tenure at
right.
Catholic Charities. And when they started developing condos, like there used to be a day when you could rent an apartment no matter how poor you were.
Right.
But then condo development started, you know, ratcheting up the rental costs. And so all of a sudden, people who are earning minimum wage couldn't buy housing. So the need for rental assistance was getting out of control. And, you know, St. Vincent de Paul societies do a great job with mm-hmm. that, you know, on the ground level. But, you know, there was just too much of that going on. And so everybody, every agency, Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, you name the agency, Heartland Alliance, I could go on and on.
Sure.
We were all answering probably 300 calls a day for rental assistance, all with the same person. And we would run out of money, and everybody else would run out of money. People are getting a runaround. And so one of the things I was really proud of, and this may not sound so gushy, but we created a centralized call system so people didn't have to call five different agencies. And we coordinated with other social service agencies. So when someone called, you know, we knew which agency had money, and we would send them to the right place to get their rental assistance.
And you know, Kathy, that's an amazing gift when you think of how many people are in need and just how frustrating trying to find help is, and to centralize it in one source. So when you call, you're sent to the right place instead of giving the runaround. That is a tremendous gift, not only to the poor that we serve at Catholic Charities, but also to those that are serving them.
Right.
So I think that sounds real gushy, Kim.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, you know, there's another program that, you know, so we always help the elderly. Remember I was talking to
sure.
you, somebody would call, we go to their house. So what Medicare started to learn was that a lot of people that were leaving hospitals ended up back in the hospital.
Right.
And that was because they didn't have what they needed at home. And so they were looking across the nation for people to create innovative programming to help stop the readmission rates. And what they started to do was penalize hospitals for readmitting patients.
Oh, my.
Yeah. That's
that makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it? Yeah. So they decided that carrying a stick isn't always the best thing to do. Maybe you should, encourage innovative services. So they came to agencies and said, create something. So Catholic Charities was one of, I want to say, like 200 agencies across the nation that created a program. And our program rose to be number one in the nation in reducing readmission rates.
Wow.
Wow.
How did you do that?
Well, because of what we're like in Chicago. So, remember I was talking about how we coordinate with other agencies?
Yes.
Well, we also coordinate with other parishes. And we also had a board that was very big. And so we had generous people spread all out throughout the diocese. So when we would meet somebody in the hospital, we would follow them home. And we would get to their house and find out they had six stairs, and nobody thought of it.
Right.
Before they discharged them.
Sure.
They can't get up the stairs. So we would call a board member who had like one of these rollout ramps.
Sure.
And he would show up and get the person in the house for us. We had a Rolodex bigger than everybody else's. That's the simple reason why we succeeded, because we had people who could help.
Well, I also think the simple reason, Kath, is you are just flat out amazing and knew how to solve all these problems all happening
well,
at the same time.
Also, the people who work for us are so spectacular.
Yes, they are.
So, you know, like, people are so happy. Seniors were so happy to be home because they were afraid they were going to end up in a nursing home.
Yes.
And so they would say to the person, you know, I have food. Oh, yeah, I have food, and I have children. They'll come over tomorrow, and I'll be just fine,
yeah.
You know. And our social workers were so respectful that they would be like, oh, you know, Miss Jones, I'm thirsty. Do you mind if I just look in the refrigerator and get something to drink? Well, their refrigerator would be empty.
Sure.
And they would say, well, you know what? Before I go, I'm going to get you some groceries. Because they weren't asking for anything.
No.
But we knew
what they needed. Yes.
And so we did it in a way that was cajoling and
sure.
With the right cadence and with the right respect.
Right.
And then before you know it, we checked the next day. Of course, the daughter didn't come because she had to go to work. And we would go back.
Oh,
so,
God bless you.
It was, you know, I listened to these stories and I just want to hug the social workers. Like, how did you get that done? Because as a daughter of somebody who was failing, I couldn't be that skillful.
Sure.
With my own father, you know,
sure.
when he needed help, he didn't want me to help him.
Right.
But they could get it done. So anyway.
Well, listeners, when we come back from our break, we're going to hear more of amazing stories about Catholic Charities and the wonderful care that these amazing individuals provide for our citizens. I'm Loretta Frelick on Winds of Change.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Loretta Frelick, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, listeners. We're talking to Kathy Donahue Coya, and we're talking about the blessing of Catholic Charities. Now, Kathy, before you became CEO, I remember the amazing Father Michael Boland, who was such an innovator, graciously allowed me and our prayer group to come into the chapel that you have at Catholic Charities at 721 and host a Saturday evening prayer meeting where we prayed for Catholic Charities, we prayed for the services that you provided, and I really just thought that was so innovative but so Catholic that here he would allow this this beautiful chapel that had just been renovated, and it really is gorgeous. If you ever want to stop in over at Catholic Charities, if it's open, head on over to 721 North LaSalle and go to the chapel on the third floor. It's magnificent.
Yeah, it's the St. Louise de Marillac Chapel. I mean, and she's the mother of social work.
Yes.
So how perfect was that? But what I really love, Loretta, is we would leave you intentions
yes.
underneath the statue with the key. And we would say, oh, this week we're praying for, you know, the refugee program. Their funding got cut and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No matter how particular it was, we put it in your hands and we knew everything was going to be okay.
Because we put it in God's hands. And
right.
that's, and you know, I can't even, I can't, I recently was so blessed to meet some people from Catholic Charities. They were like, you're Loretta? Oh, you prayed for me. I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so important. And that's what I think is the beauty of Catholic Charities. Otherwise, we're just another social service agency. This is God's hand seeing the God in each person. And it's such a blessing.
Yep.
Now,
for sure.
For sure. Now, Father Monsignor Michael Boland moved to Washington, D.C. to handle Catholic Charities there. How did you get the call to step up?
Well, you know, I was planning on retiring. I was 66. I was like at the age I could retire. And my children were having children. And
yes.
I wanted to be around to baby.
Sure.
So, but I was worried because how was I going to leave this second love that yes. I had, you know, my career? So I went to Lourdes, and I was praying that I wouldn't get depressed when I stepped away from the witnessing all this beautiful work, you know.
And yes.
So, and when I was in Lourdes, the Cardinal called me and asked me if I would be an interim CEO because there was a change afoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Monsignor Bolan was going to be stepping back, and, you know, he went on to go to Washington, D.C. So, you know, that was like, what? I'm here praying. I'm praying to separate. Are you kidding? I couldn't even wrap my head around it because it was so, it's just the opposite of what I had been, my psyche had been preparing for.
Sure.
But I thought, you know what? I have to do this because I'm an old shoe. I've been around a long time. I can do it.
Of course.
I know I can. I know yes. I can do it. And better that I do it than somebody who doesn't understand the, you know, the depth of, I would say, complicatedness of all those multiple programs.
Right.
And that's, to me, understanding the different client populations was so important. So I thought, you know, I look around, I'm thinking, you know what, it is me. I have to do this. And I thought it was 6 months. I thought it was going to be 6 months. turned into a little bit longer, but it was okay. I was happy to do it.
Yes.
As I was doing it, you know, COVID started and there were a lot of crises. And remember,
sure.
I told you I'm calm in a crisis.
Yes.
So, yeah, my skill was needed. I didn't know. No one knew COVID was coming. So I was like, okay, God, I now understand and I can do this. And I did it.
Yes, you did. So, and you did it yeah. amazingly well. So it was a real blessing that you were there and that you said yes, because an agency like Catholic Charities is so important to our faith and our church, but the people, especially the people that they serve so well.
Right.
So what was the best part about being CEO?
well, again, I think the that I knew everybody. Right?
Yes.
So I knew firsthand who to call
mm-hmm.
because we were in a big crisis with COVID.
Yes.
And we had to redesign all the services. And so I knew the first name of Frank Burr, who was the IT guy. And he went to work and, you know, he didn't have to get to know a new boss.
Right.
He got the go from me to hurry up.
Right.
And figure out a way that we could counsel children on Zoom. You know, how are we going to stay in touch with these vulnerable children? We had to do it. And he figured it out. And he got everybody. I mean, we must have ordered, I don't know how many laptops. I knew who to call in our grant writing. Concentrate on getting us the right equipment because we needed to get the right equipment. So, you know, all this behind the scenes, you have to know who to go to and who to turn on and who to give direct instruction to. And they jumped. Everybody jumped and did what they were supposed to do. And our legal department, I mean, and our HR department figured out how to help people who got sick or had relatives get sick. And, you know, there was just a lot to put in place. And I think my knowledge of the institutional leadership helped to get that done. And every day I was saying, I understand now. I understand now why I'm here.
Yes.
This is important. And we didn't miss a beat. I mean, everything got retooled. It was amazing to me. And right about then, the Archdiocese also had a fund. And they gave Catholic Charities money that we could expand our services. So
wow.
We were having employees who were, you know, like having all their relatives die.
Aww.
And they were they were the one last standing person. And they'd have like their grandmother, their mother, their aunt and uncle all die in the same week. And they didn't have enough money to bury people.
Aww.
And the Archdiocese gave us money to help not only our employees, but the community who couldn't keep up with the number of people who were dying.
Oh, how beautiful.
I know. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable that that happened. So I was, you know, again, felt so privileged to witness what can happen in a crisis. And I'm the calm one that can be the channel through which all that flows.
That is amazing. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, donors were very generous. And people, and I could hear what the need was. Because people knew Kathy Donahue, you know.
Yes.
It's like I'd go out for a beer with her.
Sure.
They would call me and they would tell me what they needed. And then I'd find, it's kind of like St. James on a micro, that was a micro level. Now I was at a macro level.
Sure.
It was a beautiful way for me to wind down my career.
It is. Now, has the Tuesday Night Supper returned?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's been going on for a while.
And can you tell the listeners what the Tuesday Night Supper is?
So Monday through Friday at Catholic Charities location on LaSalle Street, there's a supper for the homeless and hungry. And so Monday night, it is Fourth Presbyterian Church that does it. But on Tuesday, it's Catholic Charities. And people come and line up outside, and we have restaurants that donate meals, and then you serve the meal to the homeless. So we had to reduce the number of people that we let in the door. So we used to have 120, and that's just too much density when you have a pandemic. That actually is still going on. So we now serve, I think, between 60 and 90. We used to serve 120. And then they make sandwiches to go. So Tuesday is Catholic Charities. Thursday and Friday is Holy Name Cathedral. And then on Wednesday night is a group called, Jackie Hayes' group.
Right.
Chicago Help.
Yes.
And those are generally businesses that come and serve. So it's a wonderful ministry. People are so grateful. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
And people are the guests are treated with such dignity, and it's tablecloths and flowers, and they're served their food, and there's also an opportunity to, you know, if somebody needs legal help, or, you know, sometimes I found, you know, it's just some people just can't read. And so they get an important notice kind of letter, and they need somebody to translate. What does this say to me? And so so they not only provide the food nourishment, but they also provide the, the service that they may need.
Right.
And, you know.
Right. So food across the whole nation, across the whole agency, food is an invitation to really give you service. So more services than just the food.
Wow, that is beautiful.
The food is just an invitation to come to the table. And think of that for Catholics. Isn't that what Mass is?
That is. That is exactly what Mass is. When we come back, Kath, I want to hear about some of the opportunities that people will have that would have to donate to Catholic Charities. And we are WNDZ 750, the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, Winds of Change, and we'll be back.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, as Bishop Verroa of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati. You'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. All these years, you've been enjoying Winds of Change, Monday through Friday, on AM 750 WNDZ. And then, on Friday, you have to wait 2 days to hear Winds of Change? But take heart! Because now you can hear Winds of Change on Catholic Radio 88.5 FM WFSI for Northern Chicagoland. That's Saturday mornings at 10, except on first Saturdays. Now, don't you feel better?
Welcome back, listeners. We're talking Catholic Charities with the former CEO, Kathy Donahue Coya. Kathy, you know, some of the fun fundraisers, the one close to my heart is the St. Nicholas Ball. It must take a lot to raise the money to support a multi-million dollar agency. Tell us about the St. Nicholas Ball.
Well, the St. Nicholas Ball is always on the first Friday in December because that must be near where the Feast of St. Nicholas is, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so it's a very fancy event that's held at the Hilton. And, you know, the food is spectacular. There's always a band that's a dance band. And so if you like to go out for a very elegant evening, the St. Nicholas Ball is for you. And it kicks off the season. And you always leave there with some beautiful ornament or a beautiful statue of St. Nicholas or some spectacular thing that you could take home and decorate your house with. And, you know, the food is just designed for... Yeah. Like, 1 year, the dessert was a wrapped present. The present was chocolate. And then you broke into the present, and inside there were other desserts. I mean, it was crazy. So it's just, it's a happening scene. And it raises a lot of money, especially for children's services for Catholic Charities. So,
yes. And I'll never forget the kindness of you and your husband when you brought me to the St. Nicholas Ball. It was like a Cinderella moment. So
yeah, it was fun.
It was always fun,
yeah.
Yes. And there's also golf outings that go on all year, all summer long. So if anybody wanted to... play some golf to raise some money for Catholic Charities. They can go on Catholic Charities' website and find the golf course near you, right?
Right. Exactly.
And one of the things that I think is so amazing is the friendships that grow among the people that serve Catholic Charities.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, you know, I just want to put a shout out to the Burger Babes. And that would be Gene Hardy and Mary Feely and Dahlia Rocatella. The meeting is tonight. I think we're 5:30. And but really, it has been, you know, those three women and you. I didn't know any of you until I began serving the poor with you. And then we all just kind of, they knew each other sort of, and you and Dahlia worked together. And we've just become this group of women that just support each other and love to be together and have great conversation and, you know, pray for each other. And it's really, it's like an offshoot blessing of the service that we give Catholic Charities. It blesses us.
Yeah, it multiplies.
Yes, it does.
You know, it starts, you feel honored to even be a part of an organization. And then you develop a friendship on top of it. You know, it's right. Kind of like, God, you're so good to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you still have, it's kind of like you, I don't even know how to say it, but you don't need the sales pitch to sign on to something to put Catholic Charities forward and service to the poor forward. You know, you trust your friends and, okay, sure, what are we doing? Okay,
yeah.
When do we get it together?
Yeah. Ask me anything.
Exactly.
What do you need? That's how people, that was the other gift of being the interim CEO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone offered their help to me, and I took it.
And what would you say was the most remarkable part about being the CEO?
Well, just the gifts that flowed into the agency during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a horrible thing happens, and then generosity appears.
Right.
And you did not ask for it. It just came to you. It came when needed, because
right.
people were already tuned up to that's the right thing to do.
Right.
When you're well and somebody else is sick, you do what you can. So that's the lesson of charity.
It is. It is. You know, but it also takes someone, you know, spiritually attuned to the Lord to recognize it.
Well, it's what keeps you going. Otherwise, you could get overwhelmed.
Could get overwhelmed.
You could get overwhelmed, and you could cry, start to cry. You know, like, it was, you know, there were moments.
Sure there were more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what is the biggest blessing you take away as you step into retirement and all those grandchildren?
Well, I think that I was blessed to have work that meant something. You know, it gave me a purpose every day. And so I always felt good about what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lasting relationships.
Yes.
From Catholic Charities. So, like you, and like
yes.
this today, I'm so turned on to be remembering all the blessings that I don't conjure them up every day. And I'm so grateful every day for being retired, actually. So what I say every day is I hope I never lose this feeling of gratitude. Like, it's probably going to wane someday, but it hasn't. So it's kind of funny to me that I'm that grateful. I have this opportunity to be with my family.
Yes.
And it's a blessing.
And so. You have provided so many years of service. We are so grateful for your yes. And I mean it, Kath. I just think there wasn't a better person. You were hand chosen by the Lord. To fill that spot. He knew the pandemic was coming. It was no surprise to him. And he who knew who he needed to lead the agency that cared for his poor. And, you know, he could not have made a better choice.
Well, you say sweet things, Loretta.
No, it's true. And if people would like some information about Catholic Charities and volunteering, you can give Catholic Charities a call at 312-655-7700. That's 312-655-7700. And go on their website, CatholicCharities.net. There are some fun golf outings coming up this summer, and there are opportunities to donate, and you can be blessed as you bless others. I'm going to let you have the last word, Kath. Kath, the last word.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. You've blessed us so much. It's been great. Listeners, keep praying for Nancy Pelosi's conversion, Joe Biden's conversion on the life issue, Dick Durbin's conversion on the life issue. Pray for Archbishop Corleone and peace in our nation as the Dobbs decision is released. Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thoughts. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.